Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
The best bits of Joy Drive with Em and Warren. No matter where you are, you can always take Em and Warren with you.
You're with Em and Warren.
The new series of Stranger Things has been released on Netflix, and it features the 1985 classic by Kate Bush, Running Up That Hill, which I absolutely love. And it's been given a whole new lease of life to fans who now follow the series.
Gender, sexuality, and pop culture. There isn't much Lauren Rosewarne doesn't know, and if she doesn't, we'll make it up.
Lauren Rosewarne, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Now, I believe Kate Bush is actually quite protective of her creativity and is also known to knock back requests to use her material. Do we know why she gave permission this time to Stranger Things?
Yeah, apparently she liked the show. They pitched to her. This was the context in which the song would be played. It helped. She was already a pre-existing fan of the show and knew the content and felt it was a good fit. And therefore she was, consenting to allow them to use the song and, I suppose, pay the rights to have it. And I think we've had discussions about artists sort of selling their entire collection to companies so that they can license their music willy-nilly. Kate Bush is not in that camp yet. She hasn't done that. She still controls the rights to her music, and therefore it's a big deal to hear the song in Stranger Things and to introduce that song to a whole new generation. You know, the three of us know the song well, but if you think of, you know, some of the younger fans of that show who wouldn't know music from the mid-1980s, there's this sudden enthusiasm for Kate Bush, which I think we all can take a little bit of joy in.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I find it really interesting because I actually watched, I believe there might be two scenes that have this song in it. I've only seen one so far, but I was watching the first half of this season of Stranger Things last night, and I saw the scene, and it's actually only like 25 seconds, if that. Like, it's not the whole song. It's certainly not the whole song. Maybe a minute at most.
I can say there's a bit more later on that has a longer bit.
Yeah, okay.
Because I've only seen that snippet.
Yeah.
But what you're referring to is also the piece that went to TikTok. And this is one of those interesting intersections between not only Stranger Things, which obviously plays a big role, you know, it's this linchpin to this story, but the fact that the scene was also tailor-made for distribution on TikTok, which means, as we've discussed before, TikTok introduces people to pieces of music that they may not have heard otherwise.
Right.
And that clip, that 25-second clip, went viral on TikTok, which was also, I think, part of the fuel in terms of exciting people about this song and the longer piece that would come later in the season.
So it's not just Stranger Things, it's also the TikTok component. Does that mean TikTok is increasing its role in terms of, you know, music being successful when it's released?
Yeah. And not only music being successful, but, and there's some research that's starting to indicate, is the nature of TikTok and that sort of prioritizing of 25-second snippets of songs, meaning that songs get written with a deliberate hook that makes it TikTok attractive. And that idea of sort of musicians potentially manipulating music so that it is TikTokable is that changing the way for, you know, putting constraints or perhaps opportunities with creativity. That said, the fact of artists writing for, let's say, a TikTok hook, that's not entirely new. I mean, artists have written songs, you know, with the intention of hoping it gets picked up on a film soundtrack, for example. I'm not sure it can only be viewed as a creativity constraint. Rather, it's an opportunity to make some money in a really difficult industry.
I've got to say that element of TikTok is probably my least favorite, purely because from a very personal perspective, on my Instagram and on social media, I get shown videos and those videos have the same short snippets of TikTok songs and then they get in my head for endless hours.
Yeah, they're perfect.
From TikTok.
Oh, my
earworms. They're earworms. And that's, you know, if you look at the history of and the design of pop music, that idea of a hook, it's nothing new. It's the reason that pop is pop is because it gets into your ear and is catchy and simple. And, you know, there's a whole lot of aspects of it that make it very, very, very accessible. And those same elements are what makes a video go viral on TikTok. But you're right. It's the song that you find yourself singing. And it's like, I don't even like this song. Exactly. Why am I singing it? It's like Christmas music. I hate Christmas music. Yet suddenly, you know, when you've heard it in a shopping center, you suddenly start finding yourself singing, I don't know, any of those awful Christmas songs. It's like,
don't remind
us, it's not
us,
an
please.
Endorsement. It's not an endorsement.
Do you find that when you hear a song playing in a shop and it's loud, you end up start walking to the pace of the beat of the song?
Ooh, I don't know about that.
Yeah, and it's funny to watch. People do it. What is it about Kate Bush's song, though, Lauren, that's appealing to teenagers? And is it the same appeal that the song had back in 1985?
Well, I think the first aspect of of Stranger Things, it's very much a nostalgia piece. And what we mean by that is that it's tapping into the aesthetics, you know, visually as well as music-wise of the 1980s. So that idea of it being a time capsule means that certain choices, clothing, cars, music is about conjuring a feeling of a particular time. Now, for older people, you know, people who knew the song first time around, the song has a nice sort of reminiscent quality to it, where you remember when, you know, when you first heard that song, which is, you know, quite a few years old now. For younger audiences, I think it plays on a number of levels. There's the emotive connotations of the song, which would have appealed in, you know, 1985 to audiences, as well as the idea of it being kind of one of those epic type journey songs. And that idea of a sort of swell, which I think that song really has, a kind of, you know, taking the listener on a journey and it being movement as opposed to being in the same place for the whole song. There's a journey quality to it. I think that lends itself well to not only television and making it sort of have a cinematic quality, which a lot of Kate Bush music does, but also appealing to young people who are chock full of emotions. As you know, if you we cast our minds back to that time in our lives, you're feeling everything for the first time. And I think that there's an appeal of that as well.
We went over, the Joy Drive team went over to Em's house on the weekend for a bit of a catch up, and it was really, really lovely. And Em's got a turntable and vinyl. I love nostalgia, and it was just so much fun hearing, you know, a turntable play music as opposed to all the digital stuff that we get, and, you know, just hearing that nice sort of connection to the sound.
Yeah, and I think that that's part of that, you know, that you're seeing artists, you know, having music also put on vinyl now in 2022, where we've got infinite other ways to, you know, to listen to music and do so really, really cheaply. And yet you're finding, and I read an article a couple of weeks ago that was talking about how, I think it was Taylor Swift pressed her last album on vinyl, but there's only so many places that does this, you know, that press on vinyl anymore. And it meant that, you know, yeah, they were producing records basically 24/7 to meet her deadline because of this resurgent interest in vinyl, as opposed to how, you know, her previous albums didn't get printed or pressed that way.
And they're quite expensive, aren't they, Em?
Yeah, absolutely.
They certainly are. But, yeah, I actually went to a gig, a band recently, and they were selling their new album on vinyl, and I was like, I'll take that. Thank you. Like, I listen to it on Spotify, but I'll take that. Sure.
And it's an extension, isn't it, of, you know, that idea of, you know, hipsters making, you know, all kinds of things that we'd considered passé trendy again. But it's also the industries that keep those things alive. It's not just the, you know, small place that was pressing records, but it's the place that makes the needles and the place that fixes the turntables. Absolutely. And all of that you suddenly have, you know, all those businesses closed down. Now we need to find those skills again.
That's true. And one thing I will say, it just reminded me that I've got a pile of vinyl records at my parents' house that my mum keeps saying,
you're sitting on a gold mine, Warren.
When are you going to come and get them? I'm going to go and get a turntable and start playing them. But Lauren, do you reckon radio still has a role in bringing songs to new audiences? I say
absolutely. I mean, Absolutely.
Warren was going to cry.
Well, I thought we might have to play Video Killed the Radio Star instead of Kate Bush at the end, but please go
if
on,
If you
Warren.
Think about every media since the dawn of media, every next generation media, the last one was considered under threat. For example, when, you know, television came, that was going to be the death of cinema, and when the internet came, that was going to kill everything else. And I think we've seen, you know, the rise of podcasts and people actually embracing non-visual spoken word in lots of different ways. And I think you'll still be in a job for a while yet.
Fantastic news.
Good answer, Lauren. Great to chat with you. We'll chat with you again
next week. Talk to you next week.
Thank you. It's Associate Professor Lauren Rosewarne from the University of Melbourne.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app. No matter where you are, you can always take Em and Warren with you.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.